aside from a house or a car specifically, what is the most expensive thing you own? Wendy?
A car.
Name an animal with three letters in its name.
Alligator. Name something that's better than being rich.
Poor.
Besides a bird, something in a bird cage.
Hamster.
Something that comes with a summer storm.
Snow.
Something Russia's famous for, Bob.
Russians.
Something a burglar would not want to see when he breaks into a house. Rob.
Nucky Grandma.
Reason you might stay indoors on a beautiful day.
Because it's raining?
Name something you might buy that could turn out to be phony.
Yeah, a horse.
Name a time that most people get up.
In the morning.
A time most people go to bed.
At night.
This is the 7 at 11 on Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin.
This is Sunday Karma. No Craig Karmazin. I'm Greg Scalzo along with Alex Strofe, Kyle Wallace. And I didn't think we were doing a 7-Eleven today.
I'm actually incredibly grateful for that open just playing because Greg told me in the break he's going to make his Aaron Rodgers case next. And to be honest, I didn't want to hear that at all.
Oh, so, we still have time to do it.
So I'm grateful that Kyle Wallace has gone rogue. What's happening?
Well, I don't think I've gone rogue. I just, you know, do we have a special guest calling in or do we want to do 7-Eleven? Do we not? Is Craig going to help us with that? I didn't know. Anybody talk to Craig?
So Greg and I talked before the show, and I said...
I called one of the producers of the show, and Alex Strofe, and I said, are we doing 7-Eleven? He said, no.
I said, typically when Craig has been off, in fact, every time Craig has been off, Kyle and I have not done 7-Eleven, because more often than not, Craig is not here, and more often than not, you are not here.
I was wondering if Craig was going to reach out to us on his show to do a special guest. I mean, the NCAA tournament right now is here. He has connections all across the country. Not sure if places like Iowa.
I don't need to know the answer. I just need a yes or a no, Kyle. Do we know where Craig is?
I have no idea. I think he's with his daughter.
If we needed a 7-Eleven, I would have had a great one for today.
Oh, I have one for today.
But I'm saying, like, a call in. I would have had a great one this morning.
Really? Who would that have
been? Do you want to spoil it or no?
Do you want to tell him to call in now?
It would have been Matt Jones of ESPN.
He's on the air right now.
Kentucky Sports Radio.
Thanks for listening. He's on the air. Him and Myron Metcalf are on the air currently.
You don't think we could have combined it? Combined forces? Done a 7-Eleven on the national ESPN radio network?
Their show began at 9 a.m., and they led the show by talking about Matt Jones' night in Milwaukee the other night.
I saw him last night at Pottawatomie Hotel Casino.
You did?
Watching the games, yes.
You were hanging out with him.
He looks nothing like he sounds.
I don't think that's true.
What do you mean by that?
We saw him on the stream. He talks like this in real country. He looks like a young man. I thought he'd be like some old... Southern looking
dude. I mean,
he's
in his 40s.
Yeah, he looks.
He's an incredibly successful individual.
He
as well.
Does not look like
awesome.
He sounds. I first time seeing him when we tried to get him on a stream and our terrible
we
producer.
We had him on KBN on Friday.
We attempted to. And our terrible producer wasn't able to get all the audio and stuff set up. And so we weren't able to have him on video. But, so we took him off and called
him. So it sounds like we're done with the 7-Eleven for today. Then.
Well, I have a 7-Eleven.
But that's like
one.
An old 7-Eleven, the old model of doing it.
I mean, I'll do whatever you want to do, Kyle. You're the producer of the show.
Is it still called 7-Eleven? What is it
called? I have no idea.
We get seven no's, so yes, I think it is still called the 7-Eleven.
Oh, 7-Eleven, no.
I feel like Kyle wants to do the 7-Eleven.
Clearly he does, so we should do it.
No, we don't have to do it.
Let's do it.
Okay,
do
all right. It. All right, fellas, thank you so much for playing this game here. So for today, in honor of the Wisconsin Badgers constantly breaking our hearts year after year after year, I do want to know this. Who are the seven Wisconsin Badgers to have the highest scoring single seasons in Badger history?
Frank Kaminsky, final answer.
Frank Kaminsky is number one with 732 points.
Alondo Tucker, final answer.
Alondo Tucker is number two with 716 points.
John Tanjay, final answer.
John Tanjay is not on the list.
Yes, he is. He's number three. You're looking at a bad list.
Single season?
Yes, he's number three.
How many points does he have?
Over 1,000.
This year?
Correct.
Oh, then he'll be number one.
Oh, then it's less than 1,000. I saw this list like last week. He's number three, almost number two. I don't know if yesterday got him over a lot.
You want to keep rolling, or should I throw a couple guesses?
No, go for it.
Throw some out
those,
here.
Those were the three I had.
Devin Harris.
Devin Harris currently was number three on the list with 624 in 2003-2004.
He averaged 25 points a game. He definitely scored more than 600 points.
I don't know. Listen, I'm going based off the Wikipedia.
Okay.
Oh, well, so it just hasn't been updated yet.
Okay.
Well, they updated his... Oh, no, it has not been updated yet.
Yep,
no,
there you go.
Wait. No, I don't know.
I'm looking into it. Just keep rolling. Greg, right. What else you got?
I would go... I think this is going to be on there. This is my era of Badger basketball. John Lohr.
John Lohr is on the good list, call. Number four, with 621 points.
Just so you know, John Tanjay scored 724 points.
That will put him at number two.
All right.
It's impressive.
Okay, so we got what? We got...
One, two, three.
One, two, three, four, five.
We have the top five.
You're just missing...
This is where it gets
six and seven.
Very
okay.
Difficult.
I'm not going to say final answer on these, Greg. I just want to talk between you and me for a moment. Do we think Sam Decker was ever good enough to make this list?
I don't.
I don't either. I think he's close.
The players that stick out to me would be Johnny Davis.
Yes, good call. Michael Finley?
Would be Michael Finley. That's what I was going to say next. I feel like we're missing... A somewhat obvious one. Let's go Finley.
Michael Finley.
He's like probably one of the best players ever to play.
Michael Finley, number six on this list.
Okay. All right. We're missing number seven. Okay. What's the obvious one? Or are you saying you don't know it?
No, I feel like there's one more that I'm just like blanking on that would make sense. I mean, do we go Johnny Davis?
Let me think. I think probably because he was National Player of the Year finalist.
I mean, he was really
a scoring machine.
You know, Michael Finley is twice on this list.
I believe that. He was that. I mean, he's what? Is he the only guy with his jersey retired? Finley? And Frank?
I mean, Alondo
Frank
should
got
have
his jersey retired.
Alondo should have his retired.
I don't think
Alondo
his is.
Alondo should. He left after. I don't know if they.
There was a weird exit.
There wasn't a weird exit. It was a fine exit. It's when he came back where it became a weird exit. As a coach.
No, that's what I mean.
The other one that could be interesting, again, for my somewhat my era, would be Jordan Taylor.
I don't love
that. I would go Johnny Davis or Jordan Taylor. Let's go Johnny Davis.
Johnny Davis is number eight on the list. Jordan Taylor is number six.
Number seven.
Number seven, because I got to bump everything down. Yeah.
All right, so we got it.
No, you didn't. You didn't get a mulling. You got it wrong.
I know, but you gave us that last one as far as Jordan Taylor.
You already got it wrong.
I also didn't use my final guess.
What do you mean final guess? Y'all both don't get final. You guys were just a damn team. You don't get a final guess.
I'm fine with that. My point is you shouldn't have said Jordan Taylor then, so we could have had somebody call in and guess Jordan Taylor.
Oh, we weren't going to do that.
Oh, all right.
We weren't going to do that.
All right. Well, there's our 7-11.
This is just for you guys.
Great job, Kyle.
Back. With the Badger-themed 7-11 here. Sunday Karma.
It was very much... A 7-11 on Sunday Karma because Kyle's list wasn't even right.
I had to tell him
his list was
and
right.
And actually, we would have gotten all seven because Finley or Johnny Davis would have been on seven. The list originally at number seven.
No, you would have gotten it right originally if it wasn't for him. Yeah. Strofe messed you guys up.
So we got the top eight at 11.
If Strofe wasn't right in terms of bringing Tanjay into the list, you we would have gotten all seven.
You would have. You know what's crazy? AJ Storr is on this list as well.
Was he nine?
AJ Storr was number 10 on the list.
Who else do fill out the top 10?
Danny Jones.
For us?
And who is Danny? Goodness. I don't.
That's the 1960s, right?
One, yeah. No, 1980s.
Yeah.
And then
before I was born, I don't know. It's all the same.
And then I was going to do all time leading scores, but I didn't want to do y'all bogus because I don't know who Claude Gregory is.
That's probably the 60s.
And
maybe
that was
the
70s.
40s.
They weren't scoring.
What year
like
did they
that.
Win? 41?
1941, national champions.
And they probably, and literally, I mean, you probably got guys that outscored them by
and
themselves.
The 2020 ESPN simulated national champions.
That's true. Don't forget about that one.
Yeah.
Ethan Happ, baby.
Yep, that is right.
Ethan Happ, if he ever was able to develop a jump shot, he could have been just amazing. This team with Ethan Happ would have been nasty.
I don't know if he could have gotten up and down the court, although Stephen Crowell did. So,
But still, they had Stephen
Crowell had that 3-point shot.
Very just, good. Just,
yeah.
Development, man. Come on, Greg Gard, if you can do one thing for me, develop a big guy. Develop a big guy that we always had. We always had a big guy that could be able to shoot a little bit.
I mean, Crowell was that.
Ernie in a barn on the Carbles Talking text line, 800-990-3776. Kyle just showed how bad of a producer he is. Strofe would never mess up a list. Craig is right.
Thanks, Ernie. Appreciate your support.
Hepa Doobie chimes in. Says, fourth time in the last 5 years, Badgers have lost to a lower seed. This is a pattern. Guard must bear most of the responsibility. Kevin Anderson says, I wasn't expecting much from Marquette this year because the seniors lost last year. They overachieved early with wins over Wisconsin and Maryland, but later they couldn't hang with UConn and St. John's. That Kevin from Washington, an alum from the Al McGuire days. Are you more confident in the future of Marquette with Shaka or more confident with Wisconsin with Greg Gard at the helm? We'll hit that next. We'll also talk a little bit more Aaron Rodgers because how could we not? It is Sunday Karma on ESPN Wisconsin.
This is Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com. This is Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
No Craig Karmazin, Greg Scalzo, Kyle Wallace, Alex Strofe with you. Hitting us up on the Carbless Talk and Text line. List is more. 800-990-ESPN, 800-990-3776. Call us, text us. Badgers heartbreaker last night, 91-89. We're down the entirety of the game, battled back to give themselves a shot to win it or tie it in the last possession. John Tanje, after a brilliant season, a 37-point effort last night, could not make the final basket.
That boy balled out, though. I got to give him credit.
He did.
He balled out.
And he started out slow, showed his maturity, kept with it, found his rhythm, and put the Badgers in a spot to win the game late. But could not get it done. A lot of Badger fans frustrated with Greg Gard. A lot of Marquette fans frustrated with Shaka Smart. 800-990-3776. Where's more of your confidence? Is it the future of Marquette with Shaka or the future of Wisconsin with Gardo? Again, 800-990-3776.
It's close, but I'm going to go with Gardo. I think he's shown the evolution that we needed to see. Because I think, not for me, I'm probably one of, if not the biggest Greg Gard defender on ESPN Wisconsin. This season was a huge prove-it year for him. He needed to show that he's able to evolve with the state of college basketball. And without a morsel of doubt, he proved that he can. Whether it is recruiting in the transfer portal, whether it is an evolution of the offense that he trots out on the court night in and night out. I think this year was a huge prove-it year and a feather in the cap for Greg Gard, despite not getting back to the Sweet 16 for the first time since 2017. When it comes to Shaka, I think there still is plenty of reason to have faith, but to see this senior class walk out with Cam Jones, David Joplin, and Stevie Mitchell, which is the most accomplished senior class debatably in Marquette history.
I don't know about that one.
Well, in terms of wins, they're number one, Kyle.
I saw Wesley Matthews, I saw Jarrell McNeil, and I also saw Dominique James. And them boys was cold.
No doubt.
They made it to
the Sweet 16. I don't think we need to waste time debating on this.
Any class is going to exceed some of these Al McGuire classes.
Sure.
I'm just saying in terms of wins, they're number one.
That's not the debate I'm trying to get into. I think when it comes to Shaka, this is a crucial offseason for him to show that he's capable of recruiting in the portal and bringing outside guys because, you know, watching what's walking out the door versus what is returning, while you have some really important returning guys and guys that you can have some excitement for that are going to develop, like Chase Ross and Ben Gold and Zaid Lowry, and you get Sean Jones back next year for Marquette, you've got some exciting pieces, but that does not spell national championship Final Four worthy pieces. So I think Shaka has a crucial offseason to go find guys in the portal. And the nice thing for both of these schools, to Kyle's point from earlier in the show, is they both play really appealing brands of basketball. And these are fun cities. These are great college towns. These are terrific fan bases that are selling out arenas night after night for you to play in front of. These are major conference teams. So these are both appealing universities to come play for and good head coaches to come play for. But I think with what Gard and the Wisconsin staff proved this year, Greg, I have a little bit more faith in Greg Gard and the Wisconsin Badgers.
800-990-3776. Let's go to Chris, retired military member. Thank you for your service, Chris. Who are you more confident in, Badgers under Gard or Marquette under Shaka?
That's a hard question. I believe in them both, but the issue with both of them is they don't recruit any physical big men. I mean, Marquette knows they're in the Big East, which is a physical dominating conference. So is the Big Ten. guard. He just keeps recruiting skinny white guys from Minnesota that never fill out. Same with Shaka. He's got a couple freshmen on the team, but they need to hit the weight room. They need to have four of them stop shooting up threes and learn how to have an inside game because neither one of the teams rebound. Stephen Crowell's been a disappointment his whole time. Sometimes he has good games, but he starts getting in with physical guys. He backs away. He doesn't shoot, doesn't take shots, starts getting into foul trouble. So both of them need to recruit for their conference, and that's big guys with some beef on them. Look at Michigan, two twin towers, but they both got beef that can rebound, and both teams can't rebound worth a crud.
It's a good point by Chris. I mean, that was the biggest struggle for both of these teams all year long was when they faced a team with physical bigs. And I think your only recent example for Wisconsin was in that Big Ten championship game against Michigan. And they were able to slow him down a little bit, but that was tired legs for both sides. So he's right. You know, talking on Marquette College Game Day, I joined for a segment on Friday before their game against New Mexico.
Cool.
We talked about Ben Gold, and I made a comment about how sometimes I think he wants to be a shooting guard more than a true center. And Brian D. came up with this term that I loved, and it was calling him a Gen Z big. He wants to shoot threes instead of rebound and crash the boards and get inside. Right, a Gen Z big, which I thought was a creative way to describe Ben Gold. But that was a shortcoming for both teams all season long. And while it didn't really come out a ton yesterday, you would have liked Crowell to be a little bit more dominant down low, as you probably have wanted for 4 years now, and it just never really came to fruition.
Good
point by Chris.
I think he made some great points. He was cooking. He was absolutely cooking, specifically for the Badgers. Now, I ain't going to act like I sit here and follow Marquette basketball that intently. Like, I follow it, but for the Badgers, the big man is the problem, man. Even when they had Michael Potter, Michael Potter had a nice little presence that helped.
I haven't heard in a while.
But he came in, he was a transfer, and he did well. He was a big bruising body that was able to contribute down low for the Wisconsin Badgers. And was he part of that 2020 or 2021 team? It was around that time that he was there. And he has, you know, he's gotten some tick in the NBA, right? So they need to find some type of big that can create some type of presence, have some type of aggressiveness. Because when I look at that team from BYU, BYU was athletic, but also BYU was extremely active, and BYU also was going and crashing the rebounds. That one kid, Richie, whatever his last name was, that boy was...
Richie Saunders.
Richie Saunders was everywhere. That kid, Keita, whatever.
Why'd you say it like he was from Boston?
I don't know, because he said Saunders, and I thought he was saying Saunders. But he's not from there. He's from the Mormon land, it seems like.
I mean, they kept saying his dad was taking him to the gym, yep, at the church gym at 5 a.m. every day.
The church gym. But no, I just feel like that is something that the Wisconsin Badgers are missing. They're missing that big guy that can, you know, take over a game, right? Like, you had Tanjay who can take over a game, but you're missing that big that can also go for 25 points. We just did not have that really the last couple years, and I think that harmed the Wisconsin Badgers and their ceiling of what they could have been.
Riverton, Utah for Richie Saunders.
Riverton, Utah.
Sounds very unappealing.
The Micah Potter story, yeah, he was part of that 1920 team and that 2021 team.
Nate Reaver, same team.
I think guard would love to get more physical big guys in the mix. And I do think that the guard play for Wisconsin has gotten significantly better. You saw it this past year. You even saw it with Chucky Hepburn, and that's always been a constant with Wisconsin. You know, I tend to be very confident in guard. I'm also confident in Shaka because of one thing, and that's the culture that he's building. I think Marquette is, to your earlier point, Kyle, from a what Shaka brings beyond the basketball to the, you know, overall attractiveness of Marquette, what he means, how he's elevated just the perception of that program. He's going to be given more opportunities than he would at a place like Texas, even with some early exits in March Madness. But he has such a commitment to culture that at some point that is going to pay dividends, because in today's college basketball landscape, when guys are going in, going out, that transient nature of the game, he's going to have a unique differentiating factor, because I don't think that they're going to have that, and he is going to be able to build something. But I do think it's going to happen in waves, where he's going to build something. You have a senior class like you did last year, you can make a run, and then you're going to have some of these refresh seasons there as well. 800-990-3776. Again, 800-990-ESPN. Kevin chimes in, says, Al McGuire used to call the big men aircraft carriers. Ben Gold is no aircraft carrier. Ryan chimes in, says, guard has been disappointing because Wisconsin hasn't made the Sweet 16 since 2017. I get that. But again,
he has Bo's, guys.
Everybody did the same thing with Bo. It was, hey, we don't care if he gets if he's top four Big Ten every single season. We don't care about the consistency. He's got to have tournament success, tournament success, tournament success. It's hard determining the success of an overall program.
I don't think Bo went
based
8 years
on a single elimination tournament.
Did Bo go 8 years without a Sweet 16?
I think he went 8 years with one Sweet 16.
Yeah.
I mean, they had some disappointing time. We were just talking about Alondo Tucker. I know they went out disappointed. I think they were like a 2 seed, and they got put out in the second round. There were some disappointing times. I don't know. Times have changed for Wisconsin Badger basketball because we have to understand, Bo was able to build this program up to the point that they went to back-to-back Final Fours. I mean, that is extremely impressive for any, and when I say any college basketball program in this country. So what we expected was for him to be able to build off the momentum and the success that Bo Ryan had built for this program, and he was not able to be consistent with that to the point where Wisconsin didn't make it to an NCAA tournament, which is something that we couldn't fathom, the fact that Wisconsin wasn't playing in a tournament. If I had to pick a coach, I'm picking Shaka Smart.
Kyle, did you know Richie Saunders' great-grandfather invented tater tots?
Oh, wow, he's rich. I love tater tots.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
Thank you, Richie.
Yeah, they talked about that on the broadcast last night.
That is next level, Rich, right there.
I question that. His great-grandfather?
His great-grandfather invented the tater tot. Yeah.
Is he from Idaho?
His lineage might be, but he's from Riverton, Utah. We just went over this.
I'm saying if the great grandfather is.
I don't know where his lineage is from, Kyle.
Oh, okay. I'm gonna figure this out. That seems like that's cap. Okay, I feel like tater tots have been around for a while.
Well, while you figure that out, I got to tell everybody about Thanalysis Live. Gruber Law Office's Thanalysis is coming back live for you to attend 6 days from today, March 29th, at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. It starts at 7 p.m. Here is the announced guest list so far, but you never know what Thanalysis & Co. have up their sleeves. Brooke Lopez, Splash Mountain will be there. NBA champion Kyle Kuzma will be there. Mr. Bucks in Six, Brandon Jennings, will be there as well. You are not going to want to miss Thanalysis.
Oh, there's
going to
be more, too. I can't say it, but there's going to be more.
Oh, Greg's in the know. Don't forget, he's a big shot. He's in the know. Gruber Law Office's Thanalysis Live coming to Pottawatomie Casino Hotel this Saturday, March 29th. Show begins at 7 p.m. You can get your tickets on Eventbrite. Just search Thanalysis on Eventbrite.com. EventBrite.com. Search Thanalysis. Thanalysis Live 2.0 coming this Saturday, March 29th, the Pottawatomie Casino Hotel.
If you haven't seen the video from last year, it was unbelievable, and it is going to be unbelievable once again on Saturday. I'm very much in the know. It is going to be a show that you do not want to miss. It is going to be fun, energizing, stars that you cannot see anywhere else, conversations you won't be able to hear anywhere else. If you are a Bucks fan, if you are a basketball fan, if you are a fan of just having a great night out, check it out, Thanalysis Live. We'll come back. We'll keep hitting some college basketball. We'll also get back to a little Aaron Rodgers talk as well, because Strofe just can't get by without some Aaron Rodgers. That's all next. Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
This is Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
I want you to know that it's our time. You and me bleed the same light.
It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Sunday Karma across ESPN Wisconsin. No Craig Karmazin, Greg Scalzo, Alex Strofe, Kyle Wallace here with you. 800-990-ESPN, 800-990-3776. That's the Carbless talking text line. Liss is more. There Tim chimes in and says, in response to our question, are you more confident in the future of Wisconsin basketball with Greg Gard at the helm or Marquette basketball with Shaka Smart at the helm? Tim chimes in and says, I went to and therefore root for UW-Green Bay. If either Marquette or Wisconsin want to trade coaches, I would be fine with that.
Oh, that's a shot at friend of show Doug Gottlieb. That's too bad.
Friend of Alex Strofe, Doug Gottlieb.
No, friend of show.
He is friend of show.
Friend of Sunday Karma, not friend of Alex Strofe.
He told us a lot.
Gotta give him another year. Another year.
Yeah, he gets another year.
What did you just say? He told us a lot?
Listen, I'm excited about my guys come on.
He did say nobody would want to see them in March, and they did lose.
I would love to have seen them last night against the Badgers.
I think most people would. 800-990-3776. Feel free to keep the comments coming. Give us a call. We will open up the phone lines here as well. But I do want to get back to something we were talking to Jason Wilde about, because Alex Strofe is very caught up in the Aaron Rodgers
just a little sensitive
drama. Why does it bother you that Rodgers is still at the forefront of NFL conversation? Because, like, to me, the world is made up of interesting people. Like, is a better world than not interesting people. The NFL with more interesting quarterbacks is much more interesting place than not having any interesting quarterbacks. And Aaron Rodgers is at the forefront of that, right? Like, the idea of the NFL without Aaron Rodgers, who's the next most interesting quarterback?
That's a great question. I mean,
they're very boring.
It's very different than the interesting, using the word interesting to describe Aaron Rodgers. Lamar Jackson would probably be the guy that comes to mind.
Why do you say Lamar?
Just because I think he's fascinating.
He's a pretty quiet guy.
He's very quiet.
He's quiet, but he's fashion. He's terrific.
Fashion?
It's fun to watch. Yeah, he's always makes fashion statements. His press conferences are
Cam Newton, I always find them entertaining. He's come to press conferences with his pads on before.
He does.
Cam Newton is the one that is a fashion statement. That is another level.
Joe Burrow, maybe.
Burrow
might be a little bit interesting.
He's invited to the cookout.
Josh Allen's pretty boring. He's great.
And part of the reason why they're boring is because they're boring by design, and there are no flaws there. Like, the most interesting people out there, right? Like, there's a reason why people still talk about an Alexander Hamilton, right? There's a reason why
Alexander Hamilton.
Exactly, right? Like, how many other founding fathers do you have a
musical
Emmy Award-winning, Tony Award-winning play about? Like, Jobs is a business leader who has one of the most successful biographies of all time. It's not because he was this, like, perfectly packaged, boring guy without flaws. It's the exact opposite of that. It is the people who have an entirety of, like, their character where you actually understand, and you're sitting here being like, no, I just want more Jordan Loves out there, right? Somebody who's boring by design.
Don't come after my
Jameis
guy like
Winston.
Jameis Winston.
He just signed with the Giants.
Yeah,
no,
Jameis Winston is very interesting, but he's not very good.
This sucks. The NFL is so boring. These quarterbacks are so boring. Where's the controversy?
We need to appreciate Aaron Rodgers while we still have him.
I mean, this is... But
hold on. He can be interesting under contract. It's not like he's only interesting because he doesn't have a contract signed, Greg.
Certainly makes it far more interesting.
It doesn't make it more interesting. It makes it more irritating because he is holding up... Well, not really anymore, because people are just going to work around
it. Irritating is a feeling. If not for Aaron Rodgers, what's the next most interesting NFL offseason story right now?
Oh my gosh. Kirk Cousins. He has some boring swag. I'm just going through the list.
What's the most... Trey Hendrickson. He's still more interesting to me than Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, yeah, this guy who, like, is under contract by the Bengals.
That hasn't said anything.
Well, he is under contract.
He hasn't said anything. Like, even Myles Garrett...
Talked at the Super Bowl.
No, I'm talking about complaining, anything. There's no real drama. This is a drama-free league right now. I guess Greg is making the case
that he wants the NFL to be a soap opera rather than stagnant
Sports is a soap opera. If it wasn't for the actual, like, characters that we know, the games don't become interesting. It's why men's college basketball last year was boring and it didn't produce ratings, and women's college basketball outrated them because we knew the characters. We knew Angel Reese. We knew Kim Mulgrew. We knew Caitlin Clark. Like, that sports is a soap opera.
Yeah.
You're right.
And when you don't have interesting characters, it becomes kind of boring.
I don't know that that's true for the NFL. I think you can make that case for other leagues. I think the NFL is always going to be king. It is always going to be interesting. There will always be manufactured storylines, no matter if there's Aaron Rodgers or not Aaron Rodgers.
Well, who's the most popular player in the NFL right now?
Patrick Mahomes.
No, not even close.
Who is it?
Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce is by far the most popular NFL player, I think Steven Crowell could beat him in a race at this point. The reason why he's popular is because he's dating a pop star in Taylor Swift.
They didn't play it up as much this year as they did the last.
No, they didn't. But it was still a fascinating storyline. You're right. I guess when you take into account the Swifties, Travis Kelce would be the most popular superstar in the NFL.
I mean, he's a tight end that everybody heard of.
When Aaron Rodgers calls it quits, which I still hope. Now, despite my irritation, I still hope doesn't happen for a few years. The NFL is going to be just fine without him. They're going to find a new villain. They're going to find somebody else who's, you know, seeking attention and going on McAfee, yada, yada, yada. There will always be another guy that fills that role. Aaron Rodgers is fascinating because I still think, as I said earlier, he's got tread left on the tires. I still think he can be a good quarterback, and I will root for him to be a good quarterback. This is not me saying I hate Aaron Rodgers and everything about him. I still think he can be a good player. I just hate that it's me all the time. I hate that he is the one that is holding up the NFL offseason wondering, oh, which team's going to sign a quarterback? It's because Aaron Rodgers needs to make the decision, not the team's making a decision on a 41-year-old quarterback. The Pittsburgh Steelers seem like the easy answer. Why is Aaron Rodgers not making it the easy answer? Because he's Aaron Rodgers. That's why I'm irritated. I don't hate Aaron Rodgers. I hate this about Aaron Rodgers.
He's not your problem anymore, though. The me becomes like...
He's the NFL's problem, and I'm an NFL fan.
Okay.
I'm a Packers fan first,
So if he already just signs, then again, now what are we talking about? Trey Hendrickson, where does he go? That's exciting. Like, I mean, it's fun for me to see this play out, especially with somebody who is eccentric as an Aaron Rodgers is.
Sure, and I hear you on that.
You're going to miss him when he's gone.
You don't have winning.
We're going to miss him when he's gone, that's for sure.
Do we talk about your fandom on the air? Because I'm going to do it, even if we don't. You're a Patriots fan, right?
Yeah, you can talk about that.
Okay,
yeah.
I didn't know if that was on the record or not. So you're a Patriots fan. You don't have a lot to look forward to this year. Now, they spent a lot of money.
It's not true. Drake May.
Drake May looks like he could be the guy. I agree with you. But it's not like you have Super Bowl aspirations like you're used to, right?
No.
So you are paying attention to the other drama, the Aaron Rodgers of the world.
I'm still locked in on the Patriots, but I'm also locked in on the NFL in the same way.
When it comes to my fandom, I'm like, are these guys going to take the next step? Are they finally Super Bowl good? Is Jordan Love really as good as I think he can be?
I think the Packers are still another step away from Super Bowl good. Let's focus on like actually... You know, being a contender before we talk about winning.
Oh, they're a contender. Don't act like they're not a contender.
I don't know about a Super Bowl contender, but we can save that for a future Sunday Karma.
We sure can.
We do have to take a break, but first, Kyle's going to tell us all about our friends at Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Now, y'all know I love me some Gruber Law Offices, and I want you to love them as well. It's always one call, that's all with Gruber Law Offices, because they truly take care of you. See, they are passionate about helping people and truly making a difference on the behalf of their clients, but also the community. Their firm has over 130 professional staff and attorneys who are dedicated. Yes, they're dedicated to handling serious injuries and accidents as well. So again, if you or a loved one is ever injured in an accident, do not hesitate to make one call. That's all to Gruber Law Offices because they will take care of you. And you know what I love about them? I love, and when you make that one call, that's all, they never make you pay a single penny, not a single cent, until they win your case. Get with the leading law firm today by calling 414-276-6666. That's 414-276-6666. Or visit them at gruber-law.com. It's one call, that's all with Gruber Law Offices.
Palermo's Picks with an eye towards opening day in Major League Baseball coming up next on Sunday Karma across ESPN Wisconsin.
You're listening to Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com. This is Picks of the Week.
You can bet the house on it.
Picks of the Week on Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin, presented by Palermo's Pizza, Wisconsin's hometown pizza.
Can't wait to see what happens next.
On ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Wrapping up Sunday Karma here across ESPN Wisconsin. Greg Scalzo, Alex Stroh, Kyle Wallace. Big one tonight. Wisconsin, Ohio State, NCAA Women's Hockey National Championship. Kyle, before you were talking about Wisconsin sports, how much heartbreak there is, not winning a lot of championships. Mark Johnson puts that all to rest because Wisconsin women's hockey is a dominant force, and they're going to do it again today. 3 p.m. Central Time in Minneapolis is going to be the puck drop for tonight.
Mark Johnson has been the head coach. He's in his 21st season. He is seeking his 8th national championship. This is the... I got to do math now. 13th time he's been in the national championship game in 21 years. That is legitimately absurd. No matter what sport, no matter what division, no matter what you're talking about, I don't care if you're coaching a second grade hoops team. 15 national championship appearances in 21 years, or 13, whatever I said.
It's crazy.
It's ridiculous. So shout out to the Lady Badgers. And I saw Casey O'Brien named the National Player of the Year last night. All three finalists this year for the National Player of the Year, were from the University of Wisconsin. Unheard of. Only the second time in history that's happened where all three finalists for the National Player of the Year came from the same
university. Why can't women's basketball match this then?
It's a great question.
Don't have the right coach so far. I mean, right?
We'll see who it becomes. But yeah, you're totally right.
I mean, that's kind of where it is. I do think we should give a shout out opening day this week as well. Brewers taking on the Yankees on the 27th. This week in New York, Milwaukee plus 145 on the money line. My Palermo pick. Take the Brewers. Brewers are set up for a big year. Jackson Chourio batting 477 in spring training. Woo! MVP candidate this year. Those are our Palermo's picks. We all know the world's greatest frozen pizza, Palermo's. Check it out. Urban Pie, Screaming Sicilian. Any brand you get from Palermo's, you are going to absolutely love. So get them in your local freezer's aisle. Local grocer's freezer.
There you go. You got there.
We got there. Big thanks to you all for chiming in today. We will be back next week in some form or fashion. This has been Sunday Karma across ESPN Wisconsin.
Peace.
This is ESPN Wisconsin and ESPNWisconsin.com.